To be with us. It's great to have you with us. As Matthew said, we're starting a new series for the summer mornings across the end of July, August, looking at what it means to grow as a Christian. How do we flourish? How do we grow as God's people? And so we start this morning hearing this word in 1 Thessalonians and Paul's word to the Christians in that church. Now, do you have a bucket list? Do you have a bucket list? Maybe to explain that more fully, maybe for those of you who don't know what a bucket list is, it's a list of things you want to do, see, achieve, experience before you die. We all have ambitions for our lives. We have ambitions for those who are closest to us. It's why we make New Year's resolutions, why we set ourselves career plans. It's the cause of much of our anxiety and worry. If you're a parent, you worry about your children's development and growth. Are they on the right centile at the right point? Are they growing physically in terms of their education? If you run a business, you will be concerned that it's growing, it's expanding, it's making money. If you're a gardener, you desire healthy growth amongst your plants. If you struggled with ill health, you want to recover. You want physical progress. What ambitions do you have at the moment? How do you want your life to progress? Do you have ambitions to grow as a Christian? Now, these are Peter's final words in his last letter. So we've just read about Paul, his words to these Thessalonians here. Here's Peter, the Apostle Peter, what he writes. His last words in his last letter. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Peter says to his fellow Christians, grow, progress. Peter isn't alone. We've read something of Paul. This is just a selection of some of the things he writes in his letters to various Christians in various places. He says to the Ephesians, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. He says to the Colossians, a book we've been looking at on Sunday evenings, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. And then back to Peter again. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. Now, just a few examples of the call for Christian growth and progress. Notice the language used in just some of those examples from the New Testament. The Christian is to grow like a child, from infancy into maturity. To grow and bear fruit like a seed that becomes a blossoming plant. Now we get another illustration in the passage that we just read together in 1 Thessalonians. The first verse we read, Finally then, brother, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. So here we have the Christian life compared to a walk. Walking again suggests progress. Paul, notice how Paul writes to them. He affirms, he celebrates these Christians in Thessalonica. He rejoices at what he sees and hears of them, how well they're doing. But he urges them on. He says, keep going, keep walking, keep growing more and more. He says the same thing in verse 10 of chapter 4. He celebrates the unity, the love that this church has for one another. But then he says to them, we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more. Now, if we read through this letter, we see that Paul describes himself like a father and mother to these Christians. What's Paul like? Is he simply a pushy, demanding parent who's never satisfied with his children? You know, he's pleased with what he sees, but he wants them to go further. They must push on. His ambitions for them are great. Well, Paul is just echoing the heart of the true father of every Christian. Look at verse 3 of chapter 4. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. Now, sanctification is one of those big Bible words. It basically means progress, growth, development. It describes the kind of change and growth that God is looking for amongst his people, amongst Christians. Now, there are many important things in life, but the Bible says clearly that spiritual growth is God's will for you. That is an ambition that each one of us should have who trusts in Christ this morning. Therefore, it should be a top priority, not just something we work at if time permits. Amongst all the busyness of life, it needs to be the priority of every Christian. It is to be the priority for those of us who lead and guide the church as elders. Paul, again in the Colossian letter, this is how he describes his own ministry. He says, "Him we proclaim, Jesus, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ." So again, the language of a Christian growing up from infancy into maturity. The job of those in leadership is to encourage that, to help that, to teach, to nurture, to develop. Now the Lord has richly blessed us, hasn't he, as a church in recent years. After many years of seeking and praying, we see the Lord opening the way for us to buy a new home, this building. And there's much to be done. There's much effort, time, money that's going to be needed to prepare this building. Yet in the midst of such blessing, we are not to lose sight of God's chief desire for us to grow in maturity, to progress in our faith. So just as we develop a building, we are to develop the building of our lives. Now these are not just Paul's words that he writes to the Thessalonians. They aren't just Peter's words that we've read together here. This is the word of God, and as we see, the will of God. Does that describe you this morning? Are you growing as a believer? Or have you stagnated? Grown weary, disheartened, become unsure exactly what it means to grow as a Christian, unsure whether it's even possible or how it's to be achieved. Now our aim over Sunday mornings, over the summer, is to look at Christian growth, to try and answer those questions. How do we push on in our faith? What does it mean to apply God's word to our everyday lives? We hope to be practical over the coming weeks. But the first question has to be, what is God looking for? What does it mean to grow, mature, to bear fruit, to progress, to walk well with God in the Christian life? Well, it's not simply about reading more and more, knowing your Bible better, being more diligent, disciplined in your devotions. It's not simply about doing more and more, taking on new ministry roles in the church, being busier, doing more evangelistic work. Now, all of those things are good. They're helpful, but they are not the goal of growth. The aim is to love more and more. Growing as a Christian is not simply about obeying more rules and regulations. It's about growing a relationship with your Heavenly Father. Paul says in verse 1 of chapter 4, walking the Christian life equates to pleasing God. That's what we're told there. It equates to pleasing God. It's relational. Now imagine being on a long walk. You have a map, a destination, a series of the places you want to visit en route. You also have a companion. The map is essential. Knowing where you're going is important. Understanding the steps of the route also is key. But more so is your companion. Lots of you like walking. A number of you enjoy the walks that Stuart organises through the church. But why do you go with other people? You could simply go and walk those walks on your own, couldn't you? Because the enjoyment is not simply the scenery, as wonderful as that is, the exercise, as good as that is for us. It's fundamentally about the company of people that you are with, getting to know a group of people well, walking with them, getting to know them. God hasn't simply thrown you a book as a guide for life, a route for the journey, a brochure about the destination to come. Maybe sometimes it can seem that way. He wants you to know him more and more. That is the goal of Christian growth. The Christian is a child of God. He is your Heavenly Father. He desires to lead and guide you on your walk of life. We grow then as we get to know our God better. It's more than accumulating more information. Growth is not simply about our heads. That's important, that we grow in our understanding of who God is, what he's like. But it's also about our hearts, our affections, applying that knowledge to daily life, seeing God at work in us and through us. It's about building a father-son relationship of trust and love, devotion, joy in his character and in his nature. You know, he's the perfect parent, the Bible says. He desires the best for you. He has ambitions for you that are good, right, that are for your health and progress. And God's ambition for you is summed up in that one word, sanctification. This is the will of God, your sanctification. Verse 3. Now let's explore a little bit more what that word means. It's a Bible word for growth, I said. More specifically, it means growing into God's likeness, sharing something of his character, his nature, his ways. God wants you to become like him, to share his values, interests, concerns, his character, to become more like his son Jesus. Now, another word for sanctification is holiness. Now, for many people, those words have negative connotations. It's all about, it seems, not doing certain things, restrictions, denial. Some get confused and think that I need to be perfect to be right with God, almost as if knowing God involves some kind of business deal whereby if I'm not good enough, God will not let me into his kingdom. Now, we mustn't get confused here, okay, because there are two big Bible words we often throw out, one of which is this word sanctification. The other is justification. And that means only through Jesus and him alone, his work at the cross, we're forgiven, accepted, and have peace with God. That's how we become a child of God, through the work of Jesus alone. Sanctification, this word we have here, is what happens after somebody becomes a Christian. Paul doesn't see it as a negative thing, but a wonderful thing. God is not satisfied to leave us as we are. Our lives are ruined by sin. We all carry that baggage of different sinful thoughts, attitudes, behavior as we come in faith to him. We're created by God, yet corrupted by our disobedience and denial of God. We're like a great piece of art, a masterpiece painted by God, yet smudged by the effects of a fallen and broken world. God doesn't discard these marred pictures. What he does is he gets to work restoring us. He's not content to patch us up, you know, just to put a bit of color here and there. His aim is to restore us to full glory and splendor. And really what this word sanctification is what that's all about. What does it mean in practice? Well, as God wants us to grow in affection for him, we are to grow in obedience to him. Growing as a Christian involves more than words, good sentiments. It involves our attitudes and actions. It involves applying the gospel to every area of our lives. It involves laying every area of our lives before God and saying, basically, you are the boss. Now, Paul gives us two examples here. God's will is that you see your physical bodies and your spiritual body, the church, as God sees them. We've got two examples that Paul picks up on in 1 Thessalonians 4. One of the ways in which sin has distorted this world is how we view sex. Sex is a gift of God. It's part of his good creation. But we abuse the gift. Let me read verse 3 through to 5 again of chapter 4. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. Paul doesn't tell us to abstain from sex. He tells us to abstain from sexual immorality. The reality is we can act in impure ways with our bodies. According to the Bible, any form of sexual activity that's not between a man and his wife. And he says the root of the problem is lust, the opposite of love, that which God wants us to grow into. We have that word here, the word lust. Being sanctified means viewing sex as God sees it, making his blueprint for this most intimate relationships our guide to life. The problem with lust is it's all about me, my attitudes, my desires, what I want, my needs, my inclinations. Love, by definition, involves another. It involves giving, not simply receiving. It is firstly directed towards God, and love for God means love for his ways. And so what we do with our bodies provides evidence of where our affections truly lie. As Paul says in verse 8, therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but God. These are God's words, Paul is saying, not mine, not my advice. This is the word of God about how he wants us to grow into his people, what it means to live out the Christian life. Lust is to be replaced by love. Love for God, love for his people. That's the second example we have here in 1 Thessalonians of what sanctification looks like, of what Christian growth is to be. Verse 9. Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more. God wants us to see our physical bodies as he sees them. He wants us to see the spiritual body, which is the church. That's how it's described in much of the Bible, as being like a body, a family, as he sees it. Growing as a Christian involves growing in love for our brothers and sisters in the faith. You are not growing in your faith if relationships and time with other Christians are low on your priorities. This is your family. If you neglect the family at the cost of your own spiritual health. Notice the extent of their love. It wasn't just for each other in the church. It evidently extended to Christians across the region, across Macedonia. They were big-hearted. They weren't introverted in any way. Yet Paul says to them, keep growing that affection. More and more. Our sinful, selfish inclinations, that lust for our own wants and needs, is to be replaced by a love that is selfless. Do you see what this passage is saying about growing as a Christian? It's all about the orientation of our lives from ourselves to God and towards others. It's about applying our faith to every area of our lives. Paul speaks here about our sex lives, our church life. Now, he also mentions work there. We could say something about the principles that we should apply to the workplace. We haven't got time for that. But the point is, he's saying that Christian growth is not just something we do on a Sunday, not something we do just first thing on the morning when we open our Bibles. It's about applying God's word to every realm of our life. He wants you to do those things. He wants you to read your Bible, to grow, to be with God's people. But it's more than that. He wants you to apply his word in everything that you do. True Christian growth is growing in his likeness. It's having a driving ambition to please God, a hunger for godliness, for God's honor and his glory. Again, those words come up in this passage. At the heart of those commands is the call for the child of God to please his Father. That means growing in his likeness. Let's come back to some of those opening questions we had, though. Maybe you think, well, all of this is unrealistic. Maybe you've been a Christian for many years. You struggle. The standard seems so high that God wants for us in terms of how he wants us to grow. Maybe you say, I've tried. I've failed repeatedly. I've never feel I'm making any progress. I've certainly felt that way at times. Am I really making any headway as a Christian? Temptations to quit, isn't it? Now, one of Satan's most effective lies is that spiritual greatness belongs to the few and that you cannot change. I think a lot of people really don't think people can change, either themselves or other people. They say, that's just the way I am. I've always struggled with this temptation. We don't believe other people can change. We put people into boxes. Categories of behavior, of character. We don't expect them to come out of those boxes. That's just the way they are. The reality is that growing is hard work. It takes time. The reality is that we do not change overnight, even if we might want that. Sometimes the Christian life involves disappointment because we sense that desire to be different from who we are. We want to move ahead of where we are at the moment. We're struggling. Now, there is a picture of spiritual growth in our natural growth. Just as with a child, it takes years for them to mature into an adult. So spiritual maturity is progressive. It's a slow journey. There are times of growth spurts, significant moments of advancement. But there are also setbacks, disappointments, times of slower, steady development. Opportunities to grow often present themselves when significant life events occur, whether they be good or whether they be bad, blessing or difficulty. If you're a young person, I think a significant moment, if you've gone to university, is that point at which you leave university, the place that you will put amongst all the choices you have about where to live, what to do for a living, who to marry, where to settle into a church, where church might set a rank in your order of priorities, what you might do with that money that you might have when you first get a job. All those different demands, that's an opportunity to grow or not to grow. The blessing of marriage, the arrival of children brings opportunity for growth or decline. Routines are knocked when those things happen. Ways of life are challenged. ill health, the death of a loved one, moving house, a new job. Change and uncertainties are opportunities to put our faith into practice, to say to God, I trust you. I will do things your way, even though I'm not too sure how to do these things. When you look back at those significant moments in your life, did you grow or did you struggle? How did you respond? Did you turn to the Lord or did you seek to do things in your own strength? Growing is hard. It's timely. It is painful. Walking involves hard terrain at times. Progress involves overcoming obstacles that would try and test us, that might cause us to doubt. But Jesus never hid from us the cost of following. He said to his disciples, take up your cross and follow me. As he suffered to make us God's children, so we suffer as God grows us into spiritual maturity. Now think again about what Paul talks about in this passage in Thessalonians. Sexual purity, brotherly love, interpersonal relationships. Now, if Christian growth was simply about ticking duties off a list, it would be much easier. If it was simply a case of read your Bible every morning, pray for 15 minutes, turn up at church once a week, help with a particular ministry or other in the church. The really hard thing is applying God's word to your everyday life. It's painful because much of what Paul says here is countercultural. It means going against the flow of other people around us. The reality is that the first century Mediterranean world was very similar in lots of ways to 21st century Britain, at least in terms of sexual license, permissiveness, encouragement that was given for various things. Paul's words here were completely different to the norm of all that was going on around them. To give our bodies, our sexual desires to the Lord will cost us something in the eyes of other people. It's a hard thing to do. Yet God tells us it's the right thing to do. It's the best thing for us. He says that he is a good God, a good father. He does and plans and tells us to do things which are for our good. It's hard at times to apply God's word to our relationships to other people. Showing brotherly love means owning sin at points where we have done wrong to another. It means being open and honest. It involves not fighting or fleeing disagreement or conflict, but seeking reconciliation. Having difficult conversations. Showing forgiveness. How often does our culture dictate how we relate to other people when we're upset with them? How we deal with interpersonal conflict rather than the word of God? Just two examples that Paul puts before us of what it means to grow as a Christian applied to everyday life. He says growing is hard work, it takes time, it is painful. But we are also told we are not without help to grow. We have a gift of God, a work within us. Indeed, the presence of God within us in the Holy Spirit. Verse 8, we're told there that God gives us his Holy Spirit. In fact, the Bible says that our sanctification, our growth in likeness to Jesus is ultimately a work of God. Now, before Paul calls the Thessalonians to keep growing, he prays for them. That's why we read the end of chapter 3. It's Paul's prayer, verse 11 through to 13 of chapter 3. And his prayer is that they would make progress. Now, may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you. So that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Why does he pray? Because it is the Lord who can make them increase and abound in love. He knows that his words have a certain power, influence, but it's truly the Lord at work in them that will cause these things to happen. That's where the power of change lies. God is one, yet three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we see all three persons mentioned in this passage. All three play a role in us growing in maturity as believers. The goal of our growth is to please the Father. That's only truly possible because of the work of the Son, Jesus Christ, who takes away our sin, who makes us righteous before God. The Holy Spirit is the power by which we are helped to grow in imitation of Jesus, the one who ultimately models what it means for us to please our Father. Now, that doesn't remove the need to put effort in our part. God calls us in his strength to change. I think about my kids here. You know, we have shelves of toys at home, some of them stacked very high. They can't reach them. They need my help to get those toys on the top shelf. If I lift them up, they can stretch and reach what they could not reach on their own. And that is a picture, in a sense, of what God does through us. We have to put the effort in. We have to reach out. But God lifts us up in the power of His Spirit. He helps us. He gives us that power to change that otherwise we would not have. Now, how does the Spirit help us? Well, He points us again and again to Jesus. Growing is God's will for you. Growing involves becoming more like our Heavenly Father. Growing is hard work. Growing, finally, comes from seeing and savoring Jesus Christ more and more. Do you feel stagnant as a Christian? Are you struggling to grow? Perhaps you're not too sure where to start. Well, let's come back to a verse I quoted at the start, the final words of Peter in his final letter. His final words that he writes in the New Testament. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Now that one verse says a lot. I was thinking of preaching on this verse, but I decided to interlink it with what we have here in Thessalonians. But it says an awful lot. It says grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. Why bother trying to grow? Because God has been bothered with you. Why love what God loves? Why seek what pleases Him? Because He first loved you. Because He gave what was most precious to Him to make you a child of His Son Jesus. Now that's the meaning of the word grace that we have here. It means gift. Remember the gift you've been given, we're told, Peter says. The gift of new life, new identity, new hope, lasting hope that you received when you received Jesus. The foundation for growing as a Christian is a growing knowledge and affection for Christ. Again, it's all about relationship. Love is a powerful driving emotion. Our affections drive much of what we do. Only a love for Christ will power true Christian growth. Perhaps you became a Christian a short while ago. Maybe many moons ago. We all have the same need. To remember the grace of God. You were bought at a price. The cost of the life of God's Son. You are not your own. You belong to Him. Now that brings great blessing. It entails new responsibilities. It should engender new affections. It should result in new priorities, goals for life. That He be glorified, honored in your life, in everything that you do. In the routine, the small matters of daily life, in the big things you do, when at church, when away from church, before other people, in private, when you're away from the gaze of others. Growing in likeness to God involves growing closer to Jesus. Sometimes it can be hard to tell if we're growing. And the reality is that the closer you come to Jesus, often the more you sense your sin. So it can seem quite confusing because you grow to know Him more clearly. You see His holiness, His purity. You're affected by that. You see more fully and more clearly your own faults and failings. His holiness exposes our unholiness. And that's why we need one another. Why God calls us into community. Often other people see that change more clearly than you do yourselves. Now, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to look more practically at how we grow closer to Jesus. We'll look at the place of the Bible, prayer, the church, Christian service, dealing with sin and temptation. Now, each of these tools and aspects of Christian growth come up in this passage in some way in 1 Thessalonians. The prayer of Paul, the community of believers, the Word of God addressing sin in our lives, walking as a Christian in the world around us, with its various temptations and difficulties. God wants you not just to keep going, but to keep growing. Not only to survive, but to thrive as a Christian. Do you share His ambition for you? Have you grown content for low standards? Happy to make excuses? Think that you're too busy to push on in your walk with God? Now, if a child fails to grow, a parent doesn't ignore the problem. It's a cause for concern, a call for action. Is there a call to action for you this morning? Are there aspects of your life that you have not given to God? Think of your life like a house with many rooms. Each one is a mess. Each one needs renovating. Those rooms represent different parts of our lives, our homes, marriages, our sexual purity, our attitude to church, our work, our relationships with others. Have you let God into each room of your life? Or have you decided that there are some rooms where there's no need for change or no chance of change? God can't deal with that part of my life. It's too hard. I've tried and failed. That room's going to stay a mess. I'm happy for God to deal with these aspects of my life, but not that one. His ambition for you, we're told here, is complete restoration. The goal is that you reflect Jesus. The foundation for change is seeing and savoring him more fully. Finally then, brothers, as Paul says, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. Let's pray together. Father, passages like this search us. They expose ongoing sin in our lives. We confess before you, Lord, that we are far from perfect. Yet we rejoice at your goodness to us, your grace in the Lord Jesus, that we are made right and righteous in him. Lord, we pray your help to be changed by a work of your Spirit in us. May the Spirit guide us to see those areas of our life where your word has not been applied, where we need to change and develop and grow in your likeness. Father, we pray for the summer months as we look at what it means to grow as a believer, that you would help us, that your word would search and guide us, instruct us, teach us, that you make us teachable, that indeed it would be a time in which we know your blessing and help, that seeds are sown for growth in the year to come as your people, as a community, as individuals. Lord, we pray your help in Jesus' name. Amen.